Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It's 2:46 p.m. and that is Central Time. Today is February 13th. First off, I would like to apologize for the late posting of the video. It was on Saturday morning. It eventually got posted, and that is down to human error. And I unfortunately am the human who erred. So I do apologize for any inconvenience that may have caused. But what I'd like to do is start out today and look at the 2-year yield, which is up another 1.5 basis points. So there's a it's an argument made often in the bond markets, but most particularly by Jeff Gundlach, that the 2-year yield is about the best indicator of what we can expect from the Fed funds rate. And it had been coming down from usually about the end of November until the beginning of February, and now it's going back up again. So there's certainly been a change of sentiment around what the outlook is for interest rates, and it does look like they're likely to go higher from here. Then it's worth just thinking about inflation measures. So at the December inflation figure was revised upwards. It was negative 0.1 of a percent, and it was revised up to positive 0.1 of a percent. And then tomorrow we're going to have CPI. And it's anticipated that CPI month over month will be up a half a percent. Year over year, it'll be down to 6.2%. And then taking out inflation. Well, sorry, taking out food and energy, it's easy to think that the only real things in inflation are food and energy. There we are. That's a beautiful Freudian slip, I think, is expected to fall to 5.5%. So there's a moderation in inflation priced in. And then let's just think what that is likely to contribute to in terms of sentiment. So the Dow Jones Industrials was up 350 points today, coming up to the upper side of its range, and the Nasdaq was also in positive territory, so steadying now from the weakness that we saw last week. So basically, what investors are predicting is that inflation is going to peak, or has peaked, and that it will continue to come down. And that the inflation beast has basically been tamed. So that's positive for stocks. It implies that interest rates will fall. But it's not pricing in the potential that inflation could undershoot and that we could instead be looking at a deflationary environment. And I'm afraid I think that's perhaps the more likely scenario. The yield curve continues to invert. Now, the thing that I think it just bears continually saying, because it's easy to forget, it's that as long as the yield curve is inverting, then stock markets are likely to be fine. That we could even continue to see a reversionary rally or a what looks like a recovery. It's when you start to see interest rate cuts so that this yield curve spread then goes back up, and most particularly back up through the 50 basis point level, that generally coincides with some of the steepest declines that we've historically seen in the stock market. So that could easily happen from a higher level than from where stocks are at present. So I think this is it's accurate to describe the kind of conditions that we have right now as akin to Goldilocks, that central banks had an inflationary problem, they dealt with it, we're seeing the net benefits of that right now, but we have not yet seen the repercussions of that, and those repercussions are out there in the future. Now, gold prices continue to pause and contract, so down 12 in here today, having posted a downside key reversal and then downside follow through, and then on top of that, a weekly key reversal, and it's Very clear there. And then downside follow through as well. This is a peak of at least near term, potentially medium term significance. Of course, what happens in terms of the dollar and interest rates and debt sustainability are obviously going to be important questions for gold. And the dollar was in mildly negative territory in here today, but that was a good sized upside key 3 weeks ago and upside follow through last week. It would suggest that there is some additional potential for upside here from the dollar. But it was odd today that both the dollar and gold were both in negative territory on the same day. Then the yen was weaker in here today by a full yen. And this looks like clear evidence now of the dollar finding support. So I think it is more likely than not that we're going to see a further bounce here. Now, let's then think about Japanese stocks, because the Nikkei was down a few hundred points today, but then well off the low and bouncing from the region of the 200-day moving average. And it's been a predominantly range-bound environment for most of the last year. Now, the Nikkei is a price-weighted index, so let's look at the topics. And then we see that it's at the upper side of its range, but has not quite yet broken on the upside. Then there's a lot of talk going on everywhere right now about all of these balloons that are getting shot down, or unidentified flying objects. And I think it's comical to see these military people refusing to rule out the potential that these are extraterrestrial in nature. But what's clear is that China's stock market index has at least begun to find support in the region of the 200-day moving average. And it hasn't really been able to do that since the third quarter of 2021. So we're still on a recovery trajectory, and China is doing what's necessary to ensure that the market's not going to collapse, and they're providing liquidity. They will need to continue to do so, and perhaps even do so in even more volume, but they are doing what is necessary. Now let's think about the renminbi. And the renminbi was, excuse me, weaker in here today. So not yet pushing up through the moving average, but it has certainly encountered resistance in the region of the 1,000-day moving average. The questions about China and its economy are they are looking less uncertain, but certainly have got work to do. Then India does, or it is in a position to benefit from this increasingly tense environment that the rest of the world is having with China. But the market is still hovering here in the region of the 200-day moving average. The big questions that have been asked about Adani Enterprises are they're not fantastic for sentiment. And that suggests that India's market could be wobbly, or at least consolidate, to allow some of that valuation overextension to be unwound. Now, when we think about Europe, there's been positive news about many European economies skirting inflation in the fourth quarter. So the Euro Stoxx index was in positive territory as well in here today. Now, let me go back to Asia, or the Asia Pacific area, and look at Australia, where we saw the index rebound in a really impressive manner and then encounter resistance in the region of the upper side of this range that's been forming for nearly 2 years, or at least 18 months. And now we're seeing some consolidation of that move. When we think about the outlook for Australia, well, it would certainly help if tensions between NATO countries, most particularly though the USA and China, were to improve. That would certainly be beneficial for Australia, and some weakness as a result of this balloon controversy is perhaps not that surprising. When we think about the outlook for different sectors, I was speaking with someone over the weekend. He's a senior manager at Intel. It was actually at the Super Bowl party yesterday. And he was highlighting the fact that he's been doing work with some of the airlines. And senior managers are of the opinion that planes can basically fly themselves. And pilots say that they need to be trained on Boeing more than Airbus because basically the Airbus planes fly themselves. They're just there as a safety precaution. But nobody likes only being an Airbus pilot because you get paid less because there's less responsibility. So everybody also wants to be trained on Boeing planes because they can get paid more. But it does, of course, beg the question, what will need to happen in order for regulation to accept the fact that planes pretty much can already fly themselves? And of course, the same question comes up when one thinks about autonomous driving. How much of it is about technology, and how much of it is it about the regulatory questions? And of course, then we have the regulatory questions that might actually be going in favor of the telecom sector in Europe. And Deutsche Telekom is trading back above 20 euro for the first time in about 22 years. So we have these exceptionally lengthy base formations in the technology sector. And the catalyst that is starting to come through is that perhaps the European Union is serious about forcing the major users of bandwidth to help pay to sustain the networks. And BT is bouncing from the lower side of its range. But then the more back history we look at, well, we can see then that it's been a jolly long time since we had a sustainable bull market, and that prices today are still below the lows that were put in back in 2003. So there has been really very prolonged base formations right across the European telecom sector, and with the potential for increasing visibility on the cost structure, then the reliability of their cash flows will be burnished. So there is the potential that European telecom stocks are going to benefit considerably from a change in regulation. And I think that's something that is being brought home to an increasingly large number of investors, that the government and regulation have a huge impact on the viability of trends within the stock market. And I think this is obviously then also going to have a major impact on how the regulation of Bitcoin eventually works. So there was an announcement last week that Kraken isn't going to be allowed to use staking any longer. Now that's basically putting up your Bitcoin to be used for another purpose. It's basically the crypto version of stock lending. So that's again another regulatory hurdle that's been imposed, and Bitcoin was down a bit in here today, but a move of $57 on a $21,500 index isn't going to be very much. And then I think as we look around the world, well, we have definitely got the question of regulation popping up in an increasingly large number of avenues. And that, of course, helps to highlight the fact that one of the biggest hurdles that innovation has to overcome is the regulatory environment. And then, of course, there's going to be big questions are asked over the next year about just how much freedom artificial intelligence should have. And Google, having pulled back from the region of the 200-day moving average in a dynamic manner last week, has not bounced back up through it in here today. Now, then the big outstanding question from an inflationary perspective is going to be about oil. And the price bounced last week and was in mildly negative territory in here today. But I think the more important point here is that it is bouncing from the region of the upper side of the underlying trading range, which just happens to be around the 1,000-day moving average. And a sustained move below that level would really be required to question the support building hypothesis. So there's, I think, the potential here that inflation tomorrow will come in below expectations, but and that could even support the stock market even further. But that's not going to be evidence enough to suggest that we're not going to have a recession or that any kind of landing can be avoided. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.